Hello, everyone. Welcome to Super Metal World. This is Michael.
And this is Ty.
This week, we've got an interview with Quinn Lucas, guitarist for band Icarus Witch. Very excited to have him on. We had a fun time. He's a really interesting guy to talk to.
Yeah, he really opened up with us. And the choose-your-own-adventure style of interview that we've been doing is kind of brand new. And we're never sure how anybody's going to take it, but Quinn, he really enjoyed it, and it's gone well, and we love it, because let's just face it, we're nerds, and we just kind of figure most metalheads have at least some nerdy side to them, so it was fun. And Icarus Witch, they just released their brand new album on October 26th. The album is called Goodbye Cruel World, so go purchase that album. It's their first album in 6 years. It's really solid, especially if you're fans of bands like Queensryche or Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath. You know, it really, the lead singer to me sounds like Queensryche. What's your feel?
Yeah, Queensryche, maybe like, I think Quinn was saying a little bit of a Dio, and now that I think about it, yes, I definitely agree with Quinn on that one.
Yeah, so if you're kind of into that style of the traditional metal, or maybe you could classify it as power metal. It's definitely melodic. It's like melodic rock or melodic metal. I don't know what the perfect description is, but nonetheless, the music kicks ass. So we definitely want to make sure we get to that as soon as we can. We just want to do a few housekeeping things. First off, we've basically been a podcast for a year now, so we're going to talk about that for a little bit when we get back from the break. So we're going to talk about what it's like to run this podcast for a year, and what, you know, our impressions of it and where we plan to go. And then after that, it'll probably take 10 minutes for us to talk about that, and then we'll have the interview with Quinn, which you guys will really enjoy. We're also going to play a song by Icarus Witch. We're playing, is it Misfortune's Teller that we're playing?
Yep, Misfortune Teller.
So we're going to be playing that song. That song is going to happen after Michael and I talk about what it's been like to run this podcast for a year. So anyway, you can find us at www.supermetalworld.com. Please spread this website, spread the love around. It's a lot of passion that goes into this. We're just two guys that love metal, literally don't make a dime off this, and we could not make a dime off and still be happy, because this is such a great genre. So it feels great to give back to it, I guess, by sharing this kind of music. Also, you can find us on social media. Just search Super Metal World. Give us a like or a follow. And please go to iTunes and give us a rating or a review. 5 stars. We'd appreciate it so much. It really helps to get our name out there. Like I said, spread it as much as you can. Share it with a friend. Horns high.
So we've been releasing an episode a week for 52 episodes. So this is episode number 52 weeks in a year. So, hey, look at that. It's been a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. When we started this, obviously it was just born out of the passion for metal. And it's funny. It's amazing how much our episodes have changed. Like, we used to try to do things to stay current. Like, we used to try to bring in current events into the podcast, and we'd have like our favorite song of the week or an old song that we liked. And some of those segments kind of just died off because I think we just gained more of an identity as the year went on.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree or not.
No, but totally. Yeah. We haven't, it's been a long, long time since we've done any like news, like, unless it's been like significant, right? Like,
right. Because, I mean, of course, we did talk about Machine Head breaking up and getting back, whatever they are, you know, kind of the limbo they're in right now. But that was kind of, Machine Head means a lot to us. It's one of our favorite bands, yeah, so we couldn't stay away from that. But
a bit different than, like, I don't know, someone tweeting something mean.
So it's as far as, like, favorite moments from that year, I think a huge moment for us and a big breakthrough was getting OTEP to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bit of like, and even Albert Mudrian. I mean, that was those were two people, two big names that really, I guess, gave us some cred, because you gotta get cred somehow, right? I mean, and how do you get cred when you're a nobody?
You gotta grind and try to get these names that have a lot of power behind them.
And not even just getting the big names. For us, like, Indie Metal Radio has been one of our favorite things to do, where we get to take bands that nobody's heard of, and even we've not heard of, until they send us a track, and their stuff ends up being really awesome, and to be able to share it. So I think Michael would agree when I say we would give, you know, special shout outs to Killborn and Monarch, for sure. Like, two of our favorites that have come up, and there's been others on there.
Agony by Default.
The Lonely Tower. What was it? The Lonely Tower. Who was?
The Lonely Tower. The EP. Let me look at the name.
Yeah, those guys have really impressed us. It just, I mean, the list goes on, and of course, it's hard to remember all the names, but that Indie Metal Radio is something that we intend to continue to do, to show love to the bands that aren't being played on the radio.
Yeah. Letters in the Abyss is the band.
Yes, Letters in the Abyss.
So good. I feel like a jackass for forgetting that, but yeah.
Yeah. No, you guys rock, and it's been so great. Even to write articles, Agony by Default, you know, and who I wrote an article about, and even Ghostbound, another band that I wrote about. And that's another thing, is when it turned into promoting it as a website, and for us to actually get articles out there, that was really cool too.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite moments looking back was, I think it was one of our early, I don't remember the exact episode, but it was the one with Trevor Sternad of Black Dahlia Murder.
Yes, of course.
And like, going down into the basement of a local venue, and with my little tape recorder, and damn near shitting my pants, like, standing right next to him and talking to him. Like, that was pretty wild. That was pretty surreal. And, like, I had just started kind of digging into Black Dahlia, and, like, now they're just, like, one of my favorite bands. And looking back on that, that was kind of insane that's a thing that we did.
Yeah, and I think that was because Mark and I also went and we interviewed the Melvins, and that was crazy to interview the Melvins, and you know, a band that was so iconic in inspiring a lot of grunge bands. Just insane to sit down there and, you know, it's like, wow, they actually aren't walking away when we're talking to them.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of moments, like, and of course, we got to geek out about, you know, Trivium is literally one of the bands that Michael and I first got into when we were cutting our teeth with metal. So to be able to talk to Paulo, that was insane.
Yep, very insane. I think that's kind of, like, if we looked back at a year from now and said, or like, if you go and I talk to myself, like, right when we started, and it's like, hey, before this year's up, you're going to be ended up interviewing Paulo of Trivium, I'd be like, nah, fuck off.
Yeah, you would just, and it was so poetic in the way that our first episode was about Trivium, and then you know, a year later, and basically we interviewed him, I think, if not on the year anniversary of The Sin and the Sentence, a day before or after.
That's pretty cool.
So that was pretty awesome. Also, I got to give shouts to Mark Radlin, who wasn't with us right away and has become a vital part of our team. He's been the voice that you've heard when we've done things like the playback, where we talked about Tenacious D, or we talked about Dewey Cox, Walk Hard, and Mark has wrote a lot of articles for us on the website. One of the articles is the most read article that we have on our website. And so we of course appreciate Mark's help, and he acts as our agent and our liaison between all the bands too, which is great.
Mark is an absolute unit.
Yes. Eric Kluber. Eric Kluber has been a great supporter of the podcast. Forrest Marsh of Killborn, John Huber of Skeleton Rose Media, and also a dear friend of ours from high school.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The guys from Monarch, we got to give love to Alex Picard and Casey Trask. You guys are great. And I just love your band, too. So, Jonathan Lynch. Can't forget Jonathan Lynch. And there's, if you've been missed, I apologize, but there was,
you're all
just
amazing.
So many connections we've
I know
made.
It's actually like looking back and you just like reel off that name. It's like, it's been a busy year.
Yeah. Busy in the best of ways. And I just love the connections we made. Like I said, like so many cool people now. And that's another thing that this podcast has done for us is it's opened up our eyes and our ears to metal bands we probably never would have heard of. And now we're more aware of modern metal and we know all these people that we never would have known before. It's just very cool.
Looking back, another kind of cool thing is discussing, I think it was one of the early episodes actually, was when we talked with Rivers of Nile, just like right after they released their most recent album, Where the Owls Know My Name. And I listened to that album probably once a week, like one of the like best albums of the year. And we got to interview the band like right after it comes out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Interview the band and then also feature a lot of their song or a couple, three of their songs, I think, on there. So anyway, a lot of this would not be possible without all the people that we made connections with. So, it's not like we've gone super viral, but I feel proud that we have like a little niche of people, and that's what metal's all about, right? I mean, we don't want to be too mainstream.
Nah, it can't be too commercial. We'd be selling out.
So I guess the bottom line is you can expect another year from us, and I don't know that we ever want to stop. I mean, I've really love doing this. And of course there are weeks where we get busy because we have lives outside of this, but we've still been able to make it work. And I've been proud of that. As far as looking ahead to another year, I should say, we intend to just up the ante. Maybe we'll get some merch for you guys. Maybe we'll get some, some Super Metal World t-shirts or patches or pins or something like that. We're going to continue to push the envelope for like bigger name guests. Of course, we are not going to forget our indie or underground metal. We'll never forget you guys. We're always going to have space for articles, space for indie metal radio. So continue to reach out to us. But we also want to get those big bands because that brings more attention to our site and hopefully more attention to the smaller bands. So, I mean, I guess our mission statement for the next year is to keep grinding and try to push this thing further and further, see how far we can get it up the mountain.
Yeah. Here's to another year and to you listeners right now. It means a lot to us.
That being said, we don't want to drown ourselves in too much sentimentality. So we'll save that for the bar later, but we had a great interview with Quinn of Icarus Witch. And we definitely want you guys to get to listening to that. So please enjoy that interview. And before we get to that interview, here's a song by Icarus Witch.
This is Miss Fortune Teller.
Disputed queen of this hypocrisy, your war
We're here with Quinn Lucas of Icarus Witch. Quinn, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. Just cracked open a beer, doing fine.
Nice. I got one here with me on my desk. You're the guitarist for Icarus Witch, right?
Yep, that is correct.
Very excellent. So before we get started, I think we'll give you a little introduction with some of our choose your own adventure system here. So I'm just going to like give you a little bit of prompt, give you a couple of options, and you get to choose one or the other, and we'll see what happens. Are you ready?
All right.
Cool. So, you wake up in the middle of the night. After finding your bearings, you realize that you're in the captain's quarters of a very nice wooden ship. In fact, you're the captain of this ship. You've got a fancy hat and boots, too. Just after realizing this, your door slams open and a man shouts at you, "Captain! We are being tailed by a suspicious ship. It looks like pirates. What are your orders?" Do you, A, figure, we've got one of the fastest ships in the Armada. We can outrun some pesky pirates. Or, let's meet them head on. We've got state-of-the-art cannons, and it's what we were sent out here to do.
I say turn and fire.
Okay, excellent.
Awesome. So, we'll take a little break in the action here before we figure out the consequences. So, Quinn, tell us a little bit about the origins of Icarus Witch, and actually the name, too. I'm very intrigued by the name.
All right. So, we'll start with the name. The name, we used to tell some tall tales about it. We used to say that it came to the bass player and founding member, Jason Myers, in a dream. And, you know, he woke up and had the inspiration from this name that was in his dream. And everyone would go, "Really, man, it's such a cool story." And we're like, "Nah, it's a bunch of BS. Actually, it's just two words that sound cool together."
I like it.
for the most part, Jason is a longtime Wiccan. And he's really in touch with, you know, his spiritual side. And that's the witch part of it. And, you know, we're big kind of mythology buffs, as most metal dudes are. And, you know, Icarus is, you know, the guy that had wax wings, flew too high to the sun, fell to his peril. And again, two words that just sound cool together.
And sometimes that's really all it needs to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you said Jason, who were the founding members?
Jason Myers and Matthew Bazillion were the founding members. Matthew was our first vocalist. I joined the band shortly after its incarnation. And I think Jason and I have been wed together in metal for probably over 12 years now.
Okay, sure. And what were you doing before your career switch?
I was actually in college to be a mortician.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So kind of metal, actually.
Yeah, I had played in a lot of different types of, metal bands before Icarus Switch, and I was actually asked to audition and join right before I moved away to go to college, and I was like, hey man, just signed my life away on student loans, thanks but no thanks kind of deal. And he had hit me up, and that was before the band really got going or really recorded anything or did any writing. It was just in the very, raw form. Jason was just trying to get some players together. And he contacted me, but it was right before I graduated. It's like, hey man, the band's just released our first full length. Are you moving back to Pittsburgh? And I said, actually, yeah, I am. And kind of took it from there. And next thing I knew, I was in, I think like a couple weeks later, I was in Europe. So...
Were you initially into the style of music right away? Was it something that you also vibed with? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I'm like a long time old school, like trad metaler, Iron Maiden and Queensryche and Judas Priest and Scorpions and stuff like that. It's kind of what I cut my teeth on.
Yeah, sure. So do you also participate in Wiccan? Is this a band thing or is it just Jason's thing?
Jason is definitely the main dude there. I'm very, very interested in it. I've been around it in multiple facets of my life. It's something that I do believe in, but don't practice.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So what's a Wiccan for dummies? Like, I don't know anything about it. What can you tell me about it?
I mean, a lot of it has to do with, really, it's the earth, it's dealing with getting in touch with the spiritual side of really, I mean, it's the earth, the forces that be, wind and the power of everything like that. I went to a really cool Wiccan ceremony where it was basically self-reflection meditation, and it was incredibly just relaxing. And it was basically you're surrounded by candles and, you're looking into this looking glass and trying to basically get in touch with what you're seeing, not just a reflection, but and seeing things in your future and seeing things the way that you want them to be, and knowing that, everything is going to return to some innate organic form kind of thing. So it's really just getting in touch with things like that, and it's just something that's really powerful once you're around it. Much like I'm sure that all the other religions are, it's very very different for me because I'm the extreme agnostic when it comes to those kind of things.
Do you think it has a is there a negative? I feel like there's a negative connotation around it, but that doesn't sound negative, what you're describing.
No, not at all. It's because, like, the number one, like, rule is basically the old school golden rule. You know what I mean? Like, if you wish ill upon someone, it's going to come back to you five times. That
right.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, I think the the old wives' tales of it are definitely just that. You know what I mean? It's definitely it's about positive power.
Right. Interesting. So you mentioned that some of your early idols, like Queensryche, Iron Maiden. When did you start playing the guitar? And what was the moment that you're like, I want to play guitar? And can you talk through
that? Yeah. I have two older siblings, substantially older than me. One's 11 years older than me, my brother, and my sister's 16 years older than me. So I was listening to Iron Maiden when it was being released, like Power Slave and stuff like that, even though I was only like 4 years old.
Yeah.
And my brother was a drummer, and I always looked up to him. So I was always trying to play in his kit, like as a toddler. I remember the moment that my brother got Live After Death, I was just like,
my God, you can do that on a guitar? Wow. Mm-hmm. And my father would play guitar. And so I completely probably overwhelmed him with, you know, nagging to try to play guitar. And probably around 7 years old, like I really started to kind of really get into it. And, you know, I would just nag my dad, like I said, just to show me as much as he, you know, was willing to, and probably stretch his patience more than anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, really early on. So I was taking it pretty seriously by like 8 or 9.
And then just kind of stuck with it all the way through then.
Yeah. And like, I still play drums to this day, but it quickly became a secondary instrument after I found my love for Iron Maiden and mm-hmm. lead guitar, you know.
So what was your first guitar and what kind of guitar do you play now?
My first guitar was a no-name Les Paul copy.
Okay.
Yeah, no-name piece of crap, as, you know, everyone's first guitar should be a piece of crap.
Yeah, as they should be, yeah.
And I just remember the first thing, it was gold with a black pickguard on it. And the first thing I did was strip the paint and spray painted it like metallic blue. And then I think the very next thing I did with it is we put strings back on it and we smashed it. that was my very first guitar. The one that I really, I was lucky enough, my dad, has a 1960 all original Stratocaster, and that's really what I, once I really started taking it seriously, he would let me play it. And still to this day, every time I pick up that guitar, it's just like a flood of childhood memories come back. Now I've kind of gone back to the roots, except for their Gibson Les Pauls. That's primarily what I play these days.
Perfect. All right, Quinn. We'll get you back to the adventure.
Right on, man. I'm ready.
Okay. So you decided to turn and attack the ship.
Yes.
So you take the helm and turn your ship around and head straight for the enemy. As you approach, a heavy fog rolls in. The ship gets close enough that you're able to see it doesn't look like other ships. It appears as if it shouldn't even be able to float, like it's been at the bottom of the sea for some time. Soon, fog surrounds you, and a warning shot from the ship fires and lands ahead of your bow. Taking the helm, you turn and are able to fire your cannons at the enemy, taking out large chunks of their hull. Getting side by side with the ship, you can see that the enemy crew is trying to throw hooks and in order to board your ship. What do you do? Let them board. It'll be easier to hold them off if we're playing defense. Or B, lead your crew over to the enemy ship and take them head on. Offense is key in these sorts of things.
I'm going to stay on the offensive.
Okay.
I'm going to order them to board.
Nice.
Awesome. Awesome. I like the aggressiveness. So getting back into it, Halloween's right around the corner. Is this an important holiday for you at all? Are you into horror?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Talk to us about that. Geek out about horror a little bit. What's your favorite movie, or what are you into? What kind of horror?
Dude, like everything across the board. I will sit there and watch, like, Vincent Price is probably my favorite actor of all time.
Okay. Awesome.
So I will watch all of the old school, Vincent Price flicks, and all the American international films that he did. Actually, last night I just watched Dr. Fives for like the 30 millionth time.
Awesome.
And then, you know, I love all the 80s slasher films. Actually, I remember I wrote a commentary in college about it.
Oh, about slasher films in general?
Yeah, just about the resurgence of slasher films. It was whenever everyone started, you know, kind of gangbanging the remakes out, you know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah. This one and this one and this one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just a huge, huge fan. I actually went and seen the new Halloween movie. It was Sunday night. And yeah, man, I mean, that's where my blood is. That's honestly, I think at the same time I was listening to Iron Maiden with my brother, we were watching, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street as they were coming out, you know.
Do you have a favorite slasher? Are you a Freddy guy or Michael or Jason?
I've always been straight up Freddy guy. And Jason and Michael is the third, you know.
Right.
But
right.
I'm into the really stupid dumb ones too, you know.
Yeah.
Wishmaster and
mm-hmm.
a bunch of ridiculous B movies. Yeah. it gets pretty deep over here.
So this is something you're very passionate about. I like
it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my house looks like Halloween pretty much 24/7.
And do you have friends or acquaintances, whatever? Do you know people who really hate scary movies and they can't handle it?
Yeah, you know absolutely. What I mean? Yeah, absolutely.
What's your advice to those kind of people? You know, the people who like they just can't get into it around Halloween. I feel like they're missing out on quite a bit.
Oh, dude, yeah. Probably my first point of advice is to, I don't know, just grow a pair and join in the fun.
What do you have for recommendations, like, as far as movies? Which Halloween movies should a novice start off with?
All right, man. A novice, I say start off with the Universal Classics. I mean, that's kind of the bare bones. You gotta start with the original four monsters, right? I mean, Frankenstein, mm-hmm. Dracula, Wolfman, you know, those guys, you gotta start off somewhere. And then, you know, okay, if you make it through that and you're still kind of like, on the fence, then you work your way up to the slasher icons and go from there. And then hopefully you find yourself watching, you know, like Trick or Treat from, I think it was like 1986 or something like that,
sure.
which is an awesome heavy metal horror movie, you know?
Nothing better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, with those older horror movies, I feel like since they're older, they're probably a little less scary anyway.
Oh yeah. There's always kind of that tongue in cheek connotation to them. You know what I mean? There's a little mm-hmm. bit of shtick to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So this kind of goes hand in hand with what we were just talking about. Maybe there isn't anything other than horror, but what's the nerdiest thing you're into?
Ooh, man, like movies or music?
Anything,
or...
anything. It could be music, just something kind of off the wall, you know, that, not that you're ashamed of, but you know, that you really geek out about that's not horror, because we just talked about that.
Yeah. Dude, like I geek out about World War II era stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, like I will watch anything and everything on like that era of military. On you know, and I don't know why.
You just it's really intriguing.
Yeah, that and Civil War stuff. I'm really into, of course, Star Wars nerd. Is
yeah,
just mm-hmm. about every other metalhead.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really like into, especially World War II era stuff.
I'm assuming, have you dug into Dan Carlin's hardcore history?
Yes, here and there, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot, but yeah. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get you back to the adventure.
Right on.
So you decided to lead your crew over to the enemy ship, right?
Yeah.
And as you attack, you see that as you get to the other ship, you realize that these are no ordinary pirates. They look like zombie and skeleton pirates. They've been dead for ages, clearly. But you and your crew are too well trained, and only a few seem to be affected by the horrific animated skeletons and rotting corpses. Eventually, you spot the undead captain, and he spots you. You engage with each other. The enemy captain hurls you through the doors of the ship's captain's quarters, shattering the hinges. On your back, and without your cutlass, you aren't left with too many options. Do you A, grab the nearby lantern and smash the zombie ship captain with it? It should make for a nice distraction. Or B, take out your boot knife. A seaman is never too far from a blade.
I say grab the lantern.
Okay.
Ooh.
You can grab the lantern and smash the...
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That was not the option I thought you were going to go with, but I like it.
Yep, I say go with the lantern.
So, tell us about your new lead singer.
Andrew DeCagna. This guy is,
it's going to sound like a commercial just because I think so highly of the guy. Him and I share another band named Iron Flame, which is along the same lines as Icarus, which probably a little more trad metal. But we've known each other for a long time, and I've always wanted a chance to just be in a band with him. Now I'm in two with him, which is really cool. But Andrew kind of he asked me to do the Iron Flame thing before I kind of asked him to do the Icarus Switch thing. I just kind of floated him a couple songs, like, "Hey man, you think you could throw some vocals on a couple of these demos for me?" That I'm really like kind of hitting a brick wall with him, and he did. He's like, "Yeah, absolutely, man." He's like, "I love these tunes; they're great." And I kept sending him more and more demos, and pretty soon he's like, "Hey, man, are these Witch tunes?" I was like, "Yeah, you got me." Like, kind of one of those things. I kind of, you know, I didn't mean to bamboozle him. I just kind of wanted to see if it was something he would be into and how it would sound at the same time.
Right.
And we just kind of share this melodic metal symbiosis. It's like the melodies he has in his head are the same ones that I hear whenever, like, I write a guitar part. And it's like, how did, you know, he's like, lives in my head, you know. But he's just such a hard worker. Like, the guy releases more music. He has, like, probably six projects going on. And releases like six albums a year, and that's more than probably most bands do in their career. You know,
oh, I would say, yeah.
And he's doing that, you know, every year. But he's just a perfect fit for the music that we're writing. And he's got this awesome power that's like very reminiscent of Dio meets Bruce Dickinson, and it's, you know, every time the guy opens up his mouth, it's like, oh my god, just metal comes out. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty. I like to listen to him too, and that's like, I know he had to work really hard to get that, but man, that is one of those skills that I would love to have, but never will be able to pull off.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I always fancy myself a singer until I hear myself sing.
Right.
Go, oh yeah, yeah. That's why I'm not a singer.
Yep, that's why he's the singer. So, so your guys' new album, correct me if I'm wrong, did it drop today?
Yes.
And absolutely. Today, I suppose today, for those listening, today will not be the 26th, but October 26th, your guys' new album dropped. What can you tell us about the new album? And, you know, I read online it's been about a six-year absence, so how does it feel kind of getting back in the swing of things again?
Oh, man. First, I'll tell you a little bit about the album. So, Goodbye Cruel World is a culmination of, like, some of the song ideas have been around for more than 6 years. It's just they were just an idea. It wasn't a song yet. And some of them came together very last minute with the introduction of Andrew in the fold. things just started ramping up rather quickly. I would get an idea. I was so inspired. I would get an idea. I would call Jason. We would get together and work on it, or vice versa. He would have something. He would send it my way. We would get together that night and work on it. We were just so overly inspired to create. And it's one of those things that we bust our asses on it. Worked meticulously on just song crafting, because it was something that I've been fortunate enough recently, past year or two, to work with some killer producers on other projects and get to be in a room with guys like Mike Klink, who produced, you know, GNR's Appetite for Destruction and Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, and also Megadeth's Rust in Peace. And I got to basically arrange and produce projects with him and really got into crafting a song rather than just throwing a bunch of ideas in a pot, seeing what happens. So we kind of took that approach and everything that I've been learning the past couple of years working with guys like that, and really went back to, all right, man, let's get to the meat and potatoes of the song, and then add all the cool sprinkles after the song's a finished idea, kind of thing. Whereas before, it's, I think, especially whenever you're growing up, you're writing songs all the time. Not every song's going to be a great song, but eventually you get better and better at it, and you start to realize that, hey, you can make an album of great songs that share this same idea, that sound like a cohesive album. And one day I think every musician has that moment where it just clicks with them, like, oh yeah, that's how you're supposed to do this.
This is how it works.
Yeah, it's like, son of a bitch.
Why didn't I figure this out sooner?
Yeah. And with the hiatus, like with the release of Rise, we toured pretty extensively on it. And at that point, especially Jason, I, and the singer at that point in time, Christopher Shaner, we had been working our asses off for pretty much 3 or 4 years straight. We were always on the road. We spent Christmases away from our family. We spent, countless holidays, birthdays, just on other polar opposites than our significant others and families and stuff like that. And I think that takes its toll after a while. And we kind of, reset for the new album. And Jason just needed a spiritual hiatus. He ended up moving to Salem, Massachusetts for a little over a year, and just to kind of recharge his batteries. And, I kept working on the album, and he would come up with some stuff here and there, and it'd be, kind of coming up with ideas whenever he'd feel inspired or felt like, okay, I can get back into this. And, pretty soon, I started putting some of the demos together and sending them, and he's like, all right, man, I'm ready. I'm moving back to Pittsburgh. We're going to bang this thing out. And that's kind of hiatus done. You know what I mean? It's just like, it was just the right time. But there definitely was a time where I was worried that this might not be a thing anymore. And even Jason had mentioned to me, he's like, hey man, like if there's opportunities, man, even for Icarus Witch, he's like, go ahead, take the reins, just because I can't be there. You know what I mean? And like that to me, I was like, dude, I can't do this without you.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, we're I view us as the traditional metal, Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons. You know what I mean? It's like, no, dude, we can't do this without each other.
Right. Right. Were you worried at all that like your fans would just not care or leave? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was always kind of the elephant in the room. It's like, was like the question, like, is this going to matter anymore? But then, the other elephant in the room staring the other one in the face is going, you know what? You always write this shit for yourselves anyway. You know what I mean? Like, this is music that we want to hear. This is what the band's always been about, was writing stuff that we wanted to hear, but no one else was putting out,
Yeah.
So you just kind of, you do it. It's a labor of love for yourself, and you're just ecstatic that someone else digs it, man.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a good place to, we'll get to the climax of your adventure, Quinn. So we'll swing
all
back.
All right.
Okay. So you grab the lantern and you smash it into the zombie ship captain. The lantern explodes in the zombie space, flame erupts and engulfs the monster. The zombie captain shrieks, obviously in great pain. After a slow few seconds, it falls dead on the ground. You exit the ship, or you exit the captain's quarters, and see the other members of the crew slowly drop as if somehow connected to the captain. Your crew hoots and hollers your name. You're going to be paid well for this.
Nice work, Quinn.
Right on.
So we got a few more questions for you. Before we let you go here, here's a couple of just basic ones for you. What's like your favorite bigger band or musician that you've played with? That's obviously a musician not in your band. that maybe it was a hero in your childhood, maybe not.
Your favorite? I've been really lucky to have a couple of those bucket list moments. One, we got to tour the world for 3 years with Paul Di'Anno of Iron Maiden. Not only as his opening band, but also as his backing band too. So I got to play guitar with the guy, and that was like, oh my God, I've been listening to this music my whole life, and now I get to play Running Free with Paul Di'Anno every night. This is perfect. Like, so that was a big one. But someone that I've never actually played a note with, but we were on tour with would probably be Dave Manichetti of Y&T.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Yeah, he was just a crushing, I mean, he still is. He's a crushing player, unbelievable singer, and just the utmost professional person you'll ever meet.
No, I dig that. I think that's, was it one of those moments where you were, did you feel like, you know, I've earned this, I've made it, or were you still like starstruck? You know what I mean?
Oh, I was still like every night watching him play. It was like the first time you've ever watched him play. That I can say the same thing with about Dio. We were lucky enough to play with Black Sabbath when, it was called Heaven and Hell.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to do some stuff with them. And Dio was such a huge influence on me. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe that. You know, I'm standing right where Dio and Tony Iommi are going to stand.
Like, right. Like, that's pretty crazy.
This is killer. And at that moment, like, I think your fight or flight instincts, you know, kick in. It's like either you're going to shit yourself or you're going to play your
right.
or you're going to play your ass off. And
yeah,
and I chose to play my ass off.
Sometimes maybe a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so never trust the stage fart.
That's true. So as far as more like contemporary bands for you guys, or more maybe modern bands even, who kind of does it for you guys? Who are you impressed with these days?
Oh man, that's a good question. Mastodon, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I just love what they have going on sonically. They treat music like all of my older heroes treat music. They're fearless. They're not afraid to try new things. Ghost is definitely another one. Kind of the same thing. Like, they'll put out something that's completely old school sounding and then put out something that could have been on an 80s kind of dance
right.
album. And it's cool. It's really cool stuff. I'm really into Catatonia. The rest of the guys in the band are really into Catatonia. There's a ton of great music out now. Greta Van Fleet, for one. And people love to jump on the hate train with them. But, man, guess what? Led Zeppelin's not putting out music like that right now. So they're if you want to hear that stuff, that's who's doing it, and they're doing it well. You know, so I think,
yeah, I'm like glad that. You brought that up, because like, I feel like that's such a love them or hate them band.
Yeah.
And we take the stance, we really respect what they're doing and enjoy it. But some people, they really hate them.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it's like a deep seated hatred, too. It's like,
yeah,
what do
exactly.
they ever do to you, man? All they want to do is rock out.
Yeah, right. It's like you said, it's like personal. It's a personal hatred.
Yeah. I don't get it, because like I said, my view is that, you know, bands like Aerosmith and Led Zeppelin and, you know, The Who, they're not creating music anymore, or they're not creating music that sounds like that.
Right.
So, you know, if that's what you love, well, guess what? You just got a new soundtrack to your life. You know?
I totally agree with you. It's not like they're literally ripping off their songs. Or the old stuff,
they just sound a lot like their influences, and I think, and especially, I mean, they're so young,
mm-hmm.
so I think, you know, as a young musician, you bleed your influences. I mean, I remember being called a bad bedroom Randy Rhoads for years.
That's a great, I think that's a great compliment, because Randy Rhoads is a friggin', that dude was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and it was like, well, if you're young, you just want to do exactly what your idols do, you know. Mm-hmm, sure. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But there's fantastic bands out there. Even on the weird spectrum of things, there's a duet called Lark and Poe that I just absolutely adore. I think they're fantastic. They do everything from really cool versions of old Delta Blues covers to their own stuff. It's fascinating to me what some of these bands are capable of.
Yeah, we'll have to check them out. I'm intrigued by that.
So yeah, definitely, man.
No, we appreciate the recommendations. I'm sure our listeners do too. What's on the horizon for Icarus Witch, and where can people find you? It's your plug it up here.
Yeah, I mean, well, you got the old adage, IcarusWitch.com. If you're not into, the URLs, of course, all the social media sites, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Also, check out our labels site, CleopatraRecords.com. Well, the horizon is looking pretty bright. We have our release party. It's our first show back. Actually, it's tomorrow, so whenever that will be for the listeners, but it's Saturday, October 27th here in Pittsburgh at an awesome local record store. We wanted to kind of take it back to DIY days.
Sure.
And, you have to support the local record stores. I think it's super important. I think it's something that's, we're lucky enough to still have people that love music enough to operate a store to sell it in this day and age. And the fact that vinyl is as big as it was since 1989, actually last year, I believe there was as much vinyl that was produced in 1989, was a little fun fact that I was reading. So I think it's so cool to do that, but we've just been adding more shows now. Today I just got some confirmations that we'll be announcing soon. Once we get all the clerical tape out of the way.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, there will be some shows and some touring news coming your way shortly.
Yeah. And for the listeners, this will be October 29th that this airs. So hopefully they'll hear about these live shows and go and support you guys. Quinn, we personally thank you so much for being on the show. It's great to have you. It was nice to talk to you. Really laid back and chill dude. We dig that here.
Dude, it was awesome. I have to say that this has been one of the most fun interviews I've done in a long time.
We really appreciate awesome. It, man, and we wish you the best.
Absolutely.
All right. Take it easy out there, man.
All right, man. Thanks.